Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
And it is over! The Rangers win! The Rangers win and advance to the Final Four! Wow! What a comeback!
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
Got to run to keep from having. And I'm bound to keep on riding. I got one more silver dollar, but I'm not gonna let them catch me, no. Not gonna let them catch the Midnight Rider.
Chris!
Yeah!
Sports Radio 101.9 FM. The Fan. WFAN.
Yeah! 1202 on The Fan. McMonagle here with you. 888-808-1019. That's the new number. I'm going to try and say it right. I'm going to say it wrong. That's just who I am. And you got to be yourself. That's what they say in this business. Be yourself. Well, I'm the guy who gets this wrong. But 888-808-1019. 1019. Should be easy enough. We'll get used to it. We'll do it together. But that's the number to call. We'll do it for the next 5 hours on our five-hour midnight ride until the warm-up show live from DJs in Belmar, New Jersey for the kickoff the summer program. As it is Memorial Day weekend, and Memorial Day weekend is this flat, you know, this tentpole event that we talk about when we look at our baseball teams. And we focus so much over the last few weeks on our basketball team, and our hockey team, and we're going to get to the hockey team who must show up for game two. We got plenty of time to do it. We will get to the Rangers in game two. And yet again, everybody thinking there's a secret weapon waiting that the Rangers are just waiting to unveil for game two. We'll get to it at 888-808-1019. I think that's how I'm going to say it, 1019. That's easier. But 101.9 FM. But typically, it's like, oh, no, tell me where you are. That's when you first take a look at your team, Memorial Day. It's the first time you take a look. Well, let's take a look. Let's take a look at the New York Yankees for half a second. We'll get to the Mets in a moment. The New York Yankees, the best team in the American League, New York Yankees. The first place New York Yankees. And they just beat an elite team over the last 2 days. I mean, it doesn't matter that they can't hit. Doesn't matter that Seattle's batting average is horrendous. And, you know, J-Rod, as Michael K won't stop calling him, is awful so far this year. It doesn't matter. Seattle's obviously an elite team. They beat them the first two games of the series. That's why. But the New York Yankees are absolutely rolling. And there's a reason why. And no, it's not what everybody thinks. And we're focused on the wrong things. Because you know what? We've seen too many times come postseason time, and I still think it will be. Come postseason time, especially for this group of Yankees, and over the last 5 or 6 years, really since 2017, but you could probably go even further than that, back to the 2003 World Series when they couldn't hit the Florida Marlins. And Josh Beckett. When this team loses in the postseason, it's typically because they do not score. I get that. And the offense has been shut out a bunch this year. I get that. And all we focus on is Aaron Judge and whether or not they're going to sign Juan Soto and how incredible Juan Soto is. And we hate Gleyber Torres. And we focus all on that. And the fact of the matter is, if you look at the New York Yankees, the reason they are winning, the reason they are this force right now in the American League is this pitching staff. This pitching staff is outrageously good. And we saw it again from Luis Hill, who is an absolute beast. His fastball changeup combination is devastating, and he looks like what we have been waiting for since Cole has been on this team, that secondary ace to go with Cole. Right? They spent a ton of money a couple years ago to try and get it. It's been an elusive thing for this team. But Luis Gil right now is pitching like an ace, and he is dominant. And this rotation that, I mean, every single starting pitcher on this team, the worst ERA on this team right now, the worst is Nestor Cortez with a 3.29. That's the worst. And they are on a stretch right now of pitching dominant baseball. And yes, it's amazing, and thank God that Judge is back. And all you people who doubted him were absolutely out of your minds. And in the last 25 games, listen to this. In the last 25 games, Aaron Judge has 11 singles, 11 doubles, and 11 home runs in the last 25 games. I mean, the guy is unbelievable. He already has his OPS up over 1,000. This is a guy who had it in the 700s, what seemed like a week ago. And it's already up over 1,000. He is the best hitter in baseball. And him and Juan Soto are a force in the middle of the lineup. And Giancarlo Stanton is healthy. I mean, it takes some days off. It takes strictly DH, and it takes not running the bases. But right now, he's healthy and being productive in the middle of the lineup. Verdugo has added an element of left-handed power and production and contact in the middle of the lineup. And right now, both catchers are doing really well. And obviously, Trevino has been unbelievable. And that's great. And obviously, we all look to the offense because they're the Bronx Bombers. But right now, if you look at what this team is, they pitch. Whether it's the bullpen, whether it's the starting rotation, right now, they have the best ERA for any staff in Major League Baseball. And this is a team and a rotation that this was supposed to be the weakness of this team. I just checked the new call screen, which, by the way, we've got new computers. Like, it's a whole new thing. And I see someone wants to talk about Trevor Bowers. Trevor Bauer. That's who they needed. They needed Bauer, or they needed Snell, or they needed Montgomery, because this rotation was crap. And without the great Gerrit Cole, who hopefully is a month away or so, without Cole, this rotation's in shambles. And they didn't get Yamamoto, and what the hell is Brian Cashman doing? And they're sitting on their laurels, and they're worried about payroll, and blah. And all this rotation has done has been a dominating force. And it's a rotation, and the depth of the rotation, that was gutted in the offseason. Whether it was trading for Juan Soto, whether it was trading for Verdugo, whether it was how many they lost at the Rule 5 draft, whether it was last year, 2 years ago's deadline, when they traded away to Oakland A's all of their young pitching depth. This organization has been gutted in the starting pitching department over the last 2 years, and all they do is throw this rotation at you. They find Luis Gil. Carlos Rodon has been better. Clark Schmidt's been unbelievable. Nestor Cortez is the worst of the bunch at a 3.29, and he can't hit him at home. And the back end of the bullpen, I mean, just a bullpen overall, but Clay Holmes, who goes out and pitches multiple innings in this game last night, or yesterday, should I say, as they even a series with Seattle. It still feels like a series win to me after the fluke of the first game. I mean, they're up four runs in the first game in the ninth inning. That's a fluke loss. They outplayed Seattle 3 out of 4 games. And right now, as you take a look at this team, this is the best pitching staff in baseball. And they've done it despite trading away all of their depth for Juan Soto, Verdugo, Montas, losing it in the Rule 5 draft. And they found guys, and you know, they've answered questions with Rodon, but the big thing for me is, and this is going to be the question the entire year with Luis Gil, who is absolutely becoming a story, who absolutely is starting to become one of these rookie sensations. Now, I know we've seen him before multiple years ago for a brief stint, and he won all his, I think he won like his first seven starts in a Yankee uniform, or whatever the case may be. But this is now becoming something special. In spring training, he was relegated to the minor league complex at the beginning of it, and he pitched so damn well they brought him back, and now makes it as the fifth starter when you weren't sure he was going to be. And he has been absolutely dominant. And whether it's one hit in six and a third inning yesterday or the 14 strikeouts in the game before, it is becoming must-see television when Luis Gil is on the mound. And Luis Gil versus Castillo, a pitcher who everybody wanted a couple years ago, and the Yankees were the typical old Yankees for not trading for him and not giving up prospects and not doing everything they can to get Luis Castillo, who's one of the better pitchers in the American League. He outduels Castillo. He shuts down this lineup. He gives up one hit. And don't you dare call me and tell me Seattle can't hit. Don't after a full week of hearing about how they can't beat good teams like the Seattle Mariners, don't call me and say, well, they can't hit. Not a big-time performance to give up one hit over six and a third. I don't care who you're facing. This is Major League Baseball. Six and a third, one hit, 14 strikeouts, and when he's on the mound, it is now going to start to become an event, and they have found that guy who can be in a playoff series, dominant, miss bats, and be that guy to pair with Cole, to go along with Rodon, who is pitching great besides one bad start against the Baltimore Orioles. He's got a 3.27 ERA. He looks not quite the dominant force we might have seen in either San Francisco or Chicago, but still pretty damn good. You've got, obviously, Cole coming back. Nestor's been great. I mean, how consistent has Marcus Stroman been? As long as this rotation stays healthy with the addition of Cole, this is the best starting staff in all of baseball, and it was a perceived weakness. And if you've listened to my shows and you're a fan of me, you will know that I am big on weaknesses and strengths. I believe that teams need to follow a formula that they built to start the year. That your strengths need to be your strengths. That's how I've always, whenever a strength is not a strength, it scares me. And on the reverse, because the strength is supposed to be the bullpen, and the strength is, well, you know, throughout the years here, but the strength is supposed to be this offense. And now that it's, you know, leading the American League in runs scored, and Soto and Judge are rounding into shape, and Judge is the best hitter in baseball yet again, and the offense is scoring runs, and, you know, and Giancarlo Stanton is now healthy, and Verdugo is coming through in big moments, and Volpe, who's now on a 16-game hitting streak, while the offense is a strength, the perceived weakness was this rotation. And for this rotation to not be the weakness, but to be the overall strength, more so than the offense, more so than the bullpen, more so than any other aspect of this team, the rotation is its strength. And so when you have your strength as a weakness, it's devastating for a team. But when you have your weakness become your strength, that is the kind of thing that turns a good team to a great team. And that's where the New York Yankees are right at this moment. They are the best team in the American League, and they are the Philadelphia Phillies never losing, shy of being the best team in Major League Baseball. And Luis Gil is becoming that pitcher in the postseason, and that's why. And they're going to have to figure this out. As the return of Cole looms and the innings that Luis Gil has thrown over the last couple of years due to Tommy John injury, they are going to have to navigate this. I understand they've talked about the different elements of ways to measure this, and it's not strictly inning limits, and they have ways to judge on his level of tiredness and his arm strength and blah, 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 blah. We all know he is not making 30 starts. They are not just saying, hey, you're like every other starter, go out there and start. I would be shocked. I'd be shocked. So this is what they have to do, and I don't care how they do it. There's different ways to go about it, whether it's just keeping a six-man rotation where he's the guy who rotates and doesn't pitch every fifth day, whether it is putting him in the bullpen for a time, which scares me because I do not want to you know, pull him. I wanted to keep him stretched out to be a starter because ultimately the finish line of this season has to include Luis Gil in the rotation. I don't want him in the bullpen. I want him in the rotation. Barring devastating injuries to a bullpen, which I guess then you could sell me on if there's literally no one in the eighth inning or Clay Holmes goes down or whatever the case may be, then you could sell it. But as is, with the pitching being as it is, as they're just getting back pitchers from injury to add to the bullpen, there is still Efros on the way. There is a trade deadline where it's easy to get bullpen arms, and we've seen what this team and Matt Blake and this organization does with anybody who's a sinker slider pitcher. You bring him in, the Yankees are going to make him better. There's a bunch of different ways to help this bullpen. Luis Gil and this performance and this type of pitching and his ability to go through a lineup, that is too good, too unique, too special, and too much on a roll right now to think of it anything else than a game two starter of a division series. So there's got to be a way to massage it because he's not making 30 starts, but they have to figure it out. And for me, the answer is not put him in the bullpen, and that's where he finishes out his days for the rest of the 2024 season. This season needs to end with Luis Gil being in the rotation because that's how damn good he is. This is not a fluke. This is not Aaron Small winning 12 games in a row in 2005. This is a dominant pitcher with a 98-mile-an-hour fastball, a devastating changeup, confidence, and location. Right now, he is on a roll, and it's going to start to build steam. And early on, he seemed like a guy who was bothered by umpire, you know, calls. He looked so much more calm. He looked so much more confident. And every single start, he gets a little bit better. So I don't know how they get to the finish line of him being in this rotation, but that's where they need to get. And as much as we talk about who's going to pay Soto and how much you're going to pay Soto, and the owner said this and the owner said that, and Judge, oh, how did we ever doubt this man? He's already got his OPS up to 1,000, and you know, now you're going to have the Martian and Jason Dominguez come back. Where do you fit him? You know, LeMahieu's going to join them in Anaheim. Where does he fit into this? Gleyber Torres, could you trade him at the deadline? I still like Cabrera, the catching position. All this stuff are all talking points and all parts of the pieces why this is the best team in the American League. But the driving force of this team is its perceived weakness, the starting rotation. Because, man, do they pitch. They have the best ERA in all of baseball. Think about that for a second. A staff that we wrung our hands over the entire offseason. A staff that we, all of us, myself included, had our hearts in our throat when we saw a TMZ video of Gerrit Cole going to the airport because he's on his way to go see a doctor who specializes in Tommy John surgery, and we figured this was it. How can you win without Gerrit Cole? Who are they without Gerrit Cole? They are, this rotation's a laughingstock, and Brian Cashman and this ownership group is a mockery and a joke and embarrassing, and George Steinbrenner would be turning over in his grave right now because they're not going out and getting Snell, and they're not going out and getting Montgomery. Embarrassing. And they just sat back. And right now, this rotation is as good as it gets. And Luis Gil is pitching as well as Yamamoto. And while Snell just coming back from injury and Montgomery are not off to a great start, we'll see where we are at the end of the season. This might not last. Who knows? But right now, as we pop our head up, on the first day, we're allowed to look at the standings. Yankees are in first place. On the first day, we're allowed to get a feel for what kind of team you have. As we hit Memorial Day weekend, I'll tell you what kind of team the Yankees have. A damn good one. One that's in first place, one that pitches, one that hits, leads the American League in runs scored, gives up the least amount of runs in the league, and is right now as good as anyone in baseball. The best team in the division, and bring on the Baltimore Orioles, and bring on the elite Seattle Mariners, and bring on any other team that you think is in the Yankees class. Because with the middle of this lineup, this rotation, and the back end of that bullpen, Good luck finding me another team as complete as your New York Yankees. 888-808-1019. I'll figure out a way to... 1019 seems the most obvious. 1019 really kind of feels nice coming off the tongue. So we're going to see how I do it. We're going to mess up. I'll say 877 a million times. Forgive me. I apologize as we do it together. But the number's actually pretty good. 808-1019. McMonagle here with you. I got you till 5 o'clock. We open it with the baseball. We'll get to the Mets and the most important stretch of the season that begins tomorrow. We'll get to the hockey as well, obviously, game two. And what everybody, I read another story about it today, the secret weapon, what they need to do to bounce back, the only decision that makes any sense. Doesn't make any sense to me. Daniel Jones is both confident, angry, cocky, looks great, ready for week one. We'll get to Daniel Jones as well. So much to do, such amount of time to do it.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and, for shoppers, buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Yager to the empty net. Score! Yaromir Yager fills the empty net. And the Rangers lead 4-2.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
I got my first real six string.
Kick off the summer. I know I'm not there. I'm not out in Belmar, New Jersey, but I can play my part, and that goes back to the many years I worked with Mike Francesa. The Friday of Memorial Day, we play our favorite summer songs as we get ready for the summer. He always ended with the summer of 69. I'll start with it, and I'll play some personal favorites. If you want to call up and make any suggestions, we can do it. We got 5 hours. What the hell? Call me up at 888-808-1019. And we'll have some fun as we do get ready for summer. The weather's been warm. I had a storm knock the power out this morning. I know we got a little, that's what happens. The weather changes, the storms come, the lightning, the thunder, and the generator, which thank God I have. Whew. Otherwise. So we were out for a while this morning. And I got my son's prom later today. Yeah. My 4-year-old's prom. I can't wait. It's very exciting. The pre-K prom. What a tradition. But he's looking forward to it. We bought him a bow tie with footballs all over it. He's very excited. Should be a good time. But everybody, enjoy this holiday weekend. We get it started at 6 a.m. 5 a.m., excuse me, at Belmar, New Jersey. Always a good time. I'm going to try and make it. Unfortunately, I don't have my hopes up too high, but we'll try and get there. Alan, New Hyde Park. What's up, Alan?
Oh, Chris, wow, I'm the leadoff. How you doing?
Good, how are you? Yes, you are blessed. Think of how lucky you are, Alan. When you woke up this morning, did you think that you could be the first caller on my show? You could not have imagined your day taking that kind of unbelievable direction.
No, I got to tell you, you were the furthest thing from my mind.
That's funny, Alan, because I can't get you out of my mind. I can't get you out of my head.
I got to tell you, when I heard you guys change phone numbers, I think Evan was going crazy with the new number, and he's, you know, I couldn't call then, but he said the first caller would go down in WFAN infamy because they'd be the first call on the new phone line.
Ah.
So I'm your first call.
That's true. You're my new, my first 888-808-1019
caller.
Right,
which is a great, thing.
Actually, I'm going to write it down, Alan. Hold on.
Yeah. You may know me from my time when you were with Evan and Francesca.
Of course I do.
You know, when I called in. So my first time I said with you, I'm on the phone with you. By the way, I was 18 in the summer of 69.
Nice.
So, I was also at Woodstock. That was probably my most famous year, 1969.
Sure.
I'm calling you.
Although Brian Adams, the rumor is Brian Adams, it's not about the actual summer of 69. It's about 69. So,
I know that number well.
Yeah.
From my glory days.
Yeah.
But I'm coming.
Maybe
I'm
on my 10th anniversary. Good. What do you got?
I'm coming home from the Rolling Stone concert.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, nice. At the Meadowlands.
Saw the Stones at the Meadowlands?
Yes. I see them all the time.
Nice.
You know, the big Stones
how does he sound? How does Mick sound?
Great. I got to tell you, I was there 3 years ago when they were here, back in August. Mick and Keith and Ron are tremendous. I'll just say one thing one thing disappointed me. They were really, I thought they were better this time than they were 3 years ago. I was very disappointed he didn't acknowledge Charlie Watts. I thought they'd give him a video tribute.
Yeah.
I thought he would do that. I was looking for that. I'm a big Watts guy. He was the Stones backbone, the leader. If you know the history of the Rolling Stones, he was the glue. So I was disappointed and surprised that Mick didn't even mention him. So
gotcha.
Moving on. All right, but back to sports.
Yes.
Listen, I'm a huge Yankee fan. I'm in my 70s, as you might figure out already, from being 18 in 1969.
Right.
So I'm a big Yankee fan. You know, I've been through all this, all that. I heard your remarks. You know, the team looks, you know, interesting. They're surprising me. And Juan Soto, to me, is the glue. I know a lot about the pitching. I agree with you. I wasn't too sure of the pitching right now.
Mm-hmm.
These guys that they've been using have been doing their job.
That's the thing.
Rodon is shocking me, I got to tell you.
Mm-hmm.
This guy Hill is shocking me. The bullpen is doing their job. A couple of slip-ups. You know, we know about Clay the other day. I get all that. Baltimore, 3 out of 4. I get all that. It's a long season. We're getting back some of these guys, LeMahieu and Mickey Mantle Jr. You know, we'll see what Aaron, the manager, does with these guys. This road trip, I think they're going to the West Coast now to play the Angels, Dodgers, and the Giants.
Mm-hmm.
So it should be an interesting road trip for these guys right now. A bit of a test. We'll see how they come through these 9 games. But it's a long season. But I want to switch to the Rangers. I'm a huge Rangers fan, as most of the hosts know about me. I want to let you know that. I don't know what hockey fan are you, if you are a fan of one team.
Yeah, I'm a Rangers fan.
Okay, I didn't realize that.
Yes.
I asked the producer. He mentioned that. Okay, so I know you said something about something happening tomorrow night. I don't know what that meant.
Well, tonight.
Listen, tonight. I go to the game. I got to tell you, you know, the Rangers were outplayed all those games with Carolina, but won the series.
I don't agree, but okay.
Okay, but that's okay. You don't have to.
Yeah.
Everybody's entitled to their opinion.
Yeah.
It was the power plays, the penalty kills, and Shesterkin, and the 9-minute thing that happened in game 6 kind of helped the Rangers out. They were flat as hell in game 5.
Yes, they were.
That last night, they were flat as hell again. But Florida, you know, which was a bit of, they have a very good defensive box. So they kind of stymied the Bruins. They kind of stymied the Rangers last night.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to get only 9 shots on goal, in the first couple of periods was pretty, I thought, weak.
Yeah.
On the Rangers' part.
Okay.
The only time that, they have a couple of breakaways, they had to capitalize on those chances. They unfortunately hit a post. They didn't. But I got to tell you, when it was 1-0 in that third period, and they had that flurry with about 10 minutes to go, I can't believe they didn't put the puck in the net.
No, I know.
A couple of shots.
Well, what do you think? I know. We saw the game. We recapped it. We had a full day. Now we're on to tonight's game.
Tonight's game?
Right.
I'm going to talk about tonight. I didn't want Rempe play. I didn't think we needed Rempe last night. Now,
right.
I know Rempe pumps the garden up. We've Nick Fatio, Reggie Fleming. I get all that. Reeves, in some sense, when he was here with the Rangers. But, I wanted him back in. I agree with that. Wine's big on him right now. To me, he's not doing that much. I am a Brodzinski guy. A lot of guys don't believe in him. He's quick. When he's playing in the regular season, he was on the power play. He was killing penalties.
Well, I mean, so thank you, Alan, for the call. And the first call ever. And that's, I gave you a little bit of rope. I was going to talk about, my point is every, I just saw Larry Brooks write for the Post. Rangers, I forget, now I'm the, I opened it up. Yeah, they need Rempe. They need to fight back. The Rangers need Matt Rempe back in the lineup after game one. Why? I don't know. It boggles my mind that a player who plays 5 minutes, a player they're worried will take bad defensive penalties, a player the coach clearly does not trust in the critical moments, including, and when I say critical moments, I mean the entire third period. Why is that one player, as imposing physically as he may be, going to change the entire narrative of this series, which, by the way, is one game old? And it was a one-goal game for 90% of it. And it was a soft goal, the first one, and then a inexplicably dumb play by Igor for the second goal, and then a fluke kind of thing from Lafreniere that led to the goal. Why? I know they were physical. I get it. I'm sorry, with the Rangers being dragged off in stretchers and I missed it? And if they were, is Matt Rempe going to come in there and, like Johnny Appleseed, just go over everything and change the entire thing? Do you think? I don't understand. Yeah, he'll get a couple hits. He'll be a little bit tougher in the corners, like they need. What is he alone going to do? The entire team needs to get better at it. I don't understand what one player is going to do to change it, especially when the one player is not trusted by the coach, not an offensive player. I didn't watch that game and go, oh, they need to go lay the, they need, like, when we talk about the Mets, right, needing to throw at the opponent. Oh, he's hit by another pitch. Oh, now they've gotten Bader. If you don't retaliate, they got to retaliate. They're not tough. It's been a talking point forever. They get hit more than anybody else and they never retaliate. Like, if your toughness is being questioned on a level where you can, like, if you want him to go in there and throw punches, I suppose, but he's going to change the whole dynamic of a series? He's not that kind of player. I just don't see it. I don't understand why so many people, and again, people who know what they're talking about, people I respect, people who know hockey better than I do. I'm even open to admit that. I don't have any delusions of grandeur. I mean, Mark Messier knows more hockey than I do, and he's telling you it needs to happen. Someone has to explain it to me other than it just needs to happen. Oh, well, they were beat on the boards. They need to do something to change that. How do they change that with a guy who plays 5 minutes a night? What is he going to do? Inspire them to such a level? Hire Kurt Russell to give them a speech? They need inspiration. Like, it's the Eastern Conference Finals. They need to be inspired. You're telling me that Laviolette can't lay into them the yesterday after the game last night, and then all day today he can't lay into them about, we need to be more aggressive, we need to be tougher, we need to get those pucks out of the corners, we need to be tougher up against the wall. Like that, they need Matt Rempe to go show them the way? I don't see it. Juan Soto might be able to change the Yankee lineup. Matt Rempe can't change the Rangers in the middle of a postseason series. I don't see it. Matt Rempe going to make Fox skate any better? They need goals, man. They need goals. They were right there with this team. They weren't being carted off. It wasn't cheap shots. Yeah, they're getting beat up on the corners. They're more physical. Become more physical. Understand that you have to match that physicality. You know, putting one guy in there like he's going to be the savior of this thing, he needs to be in there. And listen, I'm not telling you, oh, he can't be in there. In my mind, I'd probably rather not have him out there because I want players who could score. I want the best team out there. I don't think he's part of the best team. If they believe in some sort of physical thing that's gone on here and maybe you want to put him out there a little bit, fine. But like the idea that in the first intermission of the game, Mark Messier will tell you that's what needs to happen. That Sean Avery, before the game even starts, tells you that's what needs to happen. You know, guys writing articles, Larry Brooks writing articles for the Post saying they need to respond and they need to respond with Rempe. Like, who is this guy? I mean, I was unaware. Where is this blue ox? I was unaware. I was unaware Paul Bunyan was on this team and they've been sitting him. Mike in the Bronx, what's up, Mike?
Hey, what's up? It's Mike here from the Bronx. Let's talk about the Yankees.
Yeah.
Get off track with the Rangers.
That's okay. We can talk Yankees.
Staff this year has been phenomenal, right?
Phenomenal.
And Cole's coming back. I mean, the hitting's been out of this world, too. I mean, like, Soto, Judge, everything. But this pitching staff, what are we going to do when he comes back? Do we move Nestor back to the pen? I think it's the smartest move. You know, he's got experience. We need middle relief pitchers. And honestly, the only weakness of this team is the bullpen. Everything else is just great. This is the year to win it.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you, other than the weakness of the team is the bullpen. I mean, I guess just by the idea that you have to call something a weakness, the bullpen's been great. Bullpen hasn't been a weakness. Bullpen's been great.
Exactly.
So I mean, like, they don't have a strong weakness. And Nestor Cortez, it depends on how you look at it, right? It depends on how you look at it. For me, if you just go on merit, then yeah, it's probably Nestor Cortez. As much as that stinks to say for Nestor, I think still pitching fairly well here. I mean, you know, he's got a 107 WHIP. He's got a batting average against the 223, and he's got an ERA at 329. I mean, he's pitching pretty well, and he's been unbelievable at Yankee Stadium. You know, do you trust Ferguson and Gonzalez as your two lefties? Gonzalez has been pretty good. Ferguson has had his moments of being bad, but overall, I would say he's been solid. I mean, could you improve your left-handed? I don't view Nestor as someone who, like, really typically is, you know, gets out lefties, like that's his thing. He might have better numbers against lefties than righties as a left-handed pitcher, but I don't view him as someone who's like, oh, perfect matchup for a lefty. I view him more of what he is, a starting pitcher who gets everybody out, and he doesn't have an imposing slider or, like, he doesn't have that kind of stuff where you're like, oh, yeah, go out and get the two lefties in the middle of that lineup out for me. Go get Tucker out in a big spot. But that's one way to go about it. The other way is to obviously take Luis Gil out of the rotation for a time to give him a break and limit his innings. That's about it. I mean, that's really about it. It is now. Listen, it's a month away, and I'm praying that they have this dilemma in a month, because you know baseball; these problems tend to take care of themselves. But right now, I can't take Clark Schmidt out. You're not going to take Stroman out. He just gave him the contract. He's your free agent signing. You're not going to take Carlos Rodon out the way he's throwing and the money he makes. So it's either six-man rotation, Nestor Cortez, or Luis Gil. I think those are the three options. And you could do some sort of, like, I could see some sort of thing where they do a six-man rotation, but it's pretty much the four guys on regular rest or close to it, where they'll rotate who gets the extra day every once in a while and then have Luis Gil kind of as that sporadic, you know, start. He goes every sixth day. Every once in a while, it'll be a seventh day. But they kind of try. Certainly, they keep Cole on a five-man rotation, a five-day rotation. They try and keep the others as close as possible. I know Stroman's probably a creature of habit. You don't want to mess with these guys too much. And then have a roving kind of Luis Gil to limit his innings. He gets a break every now and then. He doesn't pitch as much. But I don't know. I mean, right now, they're so freaking good. But obviously, Cole's the best pitcher in baseball. Jonathan in Bayside. What's up, John?
Hi, it's me, Jonathan from Bayside.
It's you. Oh, I thought it was just another
no,
Jonathan
actually,
Bayside.
I've called Keith more than I've called you. That's okay.
That's okay.
I like your program just as much.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I'd like to first suggest a summer song that you can sing, one of my favorite summer songs anyway. It's called The Summer Song from the 60s.
It's for the band The 60s or the time period The 60s?
Yeah, it's called Ben from The 60s. The song is called The Summer Song.
Okay. Again, yeah. I'm unfamiliar with the band The 60s.
No, it's not called the band The 60s. I mean, it's from the 1960s.
I understand that. You can give me the name of the band.
I don't remember.
Oh, you don't remember. Okay.
I don't know. I'm sorry.
That's all right, Jonathan. I'll look into it then. Summer Song. Yeah. And listen, it doesn't have to, and I'm not going to play, every song I play coming back from Rejoin tonight, or this morning, is not going to be, or have the word summer in it. It's going to be songs that make me feel like summer. Songs that were hits in the summer. I don't know, some songs that remind me of summer. I'm going to play some Jimmy Buffett, because he reminds me of the summer. One particular harbor doesn't have any, you know, summer references in it. It's just Jimmy. It's a vibe. I miss Jimmy. First year without Jimmy, and it was my first year without my tradition. Every year, my whole life. And this year, I'm just not in the car enough during the nice weather. But like for the last, it had, for as long as I've been here at the station, for sure. But for years, the first day of spring that's really nice and hot and sunny, and that reminds you that summer is coming, I roll down the windows, and I blast my favorite, I think it's called Feeding Frenzy. My favorite live album of Jimmy Buffett. And this year, you know, it's in the middle of the night. It's not nice. It hasn't really been hot out yet. It's pitch, you know, it's dark out when I come in. So I haven't had that. Now that it's starting to get light on the way home, maybe I'll start doing it on the way home. I owe Jimmy a good listen. Eric in Brooklyn. What's up, Eric?
Hey, what's up?
What's up?
I have three points. It's quite rare about the Rangers, but can I speak about the Mets and Yankees too?
Sure, you can.
Okay, can I start with the Mets?
Yeah, you can. You just go. Don't worry about it. It's better to just ask for forgiveness than permission. So just start going.
Okay, so do you think we should just sell all the Mets players?
Do I think you should sell all the Mets players?
Get rid of them.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying. If there's anyone willing to buy them, sure. That's the problem.
Overpay them.
Well, I mean, yeah. I mean, Jeff McNeil, if he could get hot here, his contract isn't bad. Maybe you can get rid of Jeff McNeil. Obviously, Alonso could have a market as a free agent. I don't know what you're going to get for him. That's the thing. I'd rather probably just keep him, depending on how bad. If he gets hot, again, then you could trade him if you want. But the team has been pretty bad. I'm going to get to the Mets in the next hour. About where they are and this upcoming stretch and the longest home stand of the season is the season. I think you will know a lot more about the Mets after the next 10 games. But yeah, I'm open to sell, and I think so is the ownership and so is Stearns. So we'll see.
Okay, and also about the Yankees, I think they should do like this. Like two pitchers that don't really pitch that like go far, like five or four innings. Like, someone told me that they should, like, split them.
Stack
both
them?
And have the bullpen a rest and put them both one game.
I mean, so, like, stack Nestor Cortez, who's had struggle with a third time through the lineup, and maybe, like, stack, at least for a while, him and Luis Gil.
Yeah.
Because Luis Gil is on an innings limit. I got to tell you, Eric. That is not the craziest idea. That gives the bullpen one game a week kind of off, or at least close, depending on if both of them pitch fairly well, that you could give the bullpen a night off for the most part. That is not a terrible idea.
Okay, and also, I have a question why everybody wants to put Wempe in for the Rangers.
Yes.
I don't know why.
Well, that really wasn't a question, I suppose. If you're asking, I mean, I guess why? Why does everybody want to put Wempe? I asked the same thing. I don't know if you were listening. I have no idea why. Honestly, I mean, I guess I understand. I mean, it's just they were more physical. Put in your most physical guy. I mean, I guess that's why. That's why. I don't think it's the solution at all. I don't see it making a major impact at all. Because here's the problem, and I mean, unless you are really going to ask Laviolette to change his soul, because watching the team play and him coach, he doesn't believe in him. And that's a hard thing to just say, hey, coach, you got to believe in him. You got to play him. Because if you're going to tell me you're going to put Wempe in there for what? Start the game, drop his gloves immediately, start throwing haymakers? Because if it's, hey, you got to change the way you play in the corners. Hey, you got to get after those loose pucks. Hey, you got to be more physical with the forecheck and the back check. Okay. He plays 4 minutes. They don't trust him to play because he takes bad penalties. How is he going to impact? This is not, he's not Willis Reed where he's going to, I know Willis Reed has gotten a lot of pub lately. He's not Willis Reed who's going to go in there and on, you know, his first two shifts, you know, throw some elbows or get a puck out of the corner and suddenly lift the spirits of the entire team. Like, I just don't see that. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe that's possible. Mark Messier seems to think it's possible. So maybe it's possible. But I want the best players out there. I don't think they need to change who they are. I don't think they need to say, oh, we need Wempe in there to be more physical. I don't. Be more physical, total. Like, respond to what happened in game one. Fight back with the group you have. I don't think they need Matt Wempe. Carmen and Lyndon, what's up, Carmen?
Hey, how you doing, Big Mac? Okay?
Yeah, I'm doing great. How are you? I'm glad I'm getting calls here with the new number. I thought it was going to be a struggle. You guys are the best.
I actually called the old number and they answered. So I've got the new number now.
Who answered?
Real quick, I understand what you're saying about Wempe not lifting the team. I'm just going to say one thing, and it's not because of not specifically because of Messier. It's because if you listened, I couldn't believe listening to that game on radio.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't believe how quiet the fans were. I'm not going to say that his 5 minutes is going to change the guy's attitude. What I think is, if the fans see his action and they get into it, don't you agree that the... No, I shouldn't say don't you agree.
No, I get you.
Wouldn't you think that the adrenaline might start pumping and it might change, even though it's only 5 minutes, it might change their whole way? I'll let you talk... And I'll get off the phone. No. That's the only thing that I see about him coming in.
You're 100% right, Carmen. That is the only argument that I really will give merit to. That's the argument of Wempe. The perceived notion that the crowd, and again, I think the crowd reacted to the game on some level. Could you be louder and force it? I suppose. But there's a nerve. They talked about it on the morning show, and I thought Boomer put it well. Like, there's a nervousness to these playoff hockey games. And when you fall behind and you get nothing offensively, it's hard to manufacture that crowd. And I think the Rangers are the reason why the crowd was the crowd. And, you know, the crowd was a little flat. So is the team. So if the point is the crowd loves this guy because, you know, we all are, I don't know, barbaric in nature and love the idea that he's going to come in and be physical, and we love that. Me too. We all do. And that can create a spark, get the crowd going, and then in turn get the team going and create some sort of buzz, even if it is for a few minutes. That's the best argument. And if that, I mean, that is not without merit. There is something to that, I suppose. I don't view it as more important than having the best four lines I can put out there. Like, that's more important to me. I trust this team. Like, I trust this team. I trust these guys. I trust Igor. I trust, like, I need them. I want them to have the best players out there because I don't think they need Rempe to create a spark. I don't think they'll just be flat. Now, it is the last two games. It is the last two games at Madison Square Garden. And if you're going to play Rempe, this I'll agree with. If you're going to play Rempe, play him at MSG because of what we just talked about and what Carmen just said. So if he plays game two, I don't want to make it seem like you can't play him because that's not what I'm trying to say. But he's being portrayed as exactly what they need. That I don't agree with. It's almost as if he's going to be the savior, the thing that can change what happened in game one to what needs to happen in game two, that Rempe alone can do that, or that's the biggest thing they can do to change what happened. And that I don't agree with. Putting him out there, fine. I'm not necessarily really opposed to it. I don't love it, but if you want to try and create a spark, I'm okay with it. And if you're going to do it, it makes more sense to do it in game two than it does in games three or four, without question. So we'll see what they do. I think it's very likely that he does play. And we'll see what reaction he gets from the fans and the crowd and whether or not it impacts the team. But I had a caller yesterday told me, well, now maybe Florida will, you know, keep an eye over their shoulder and be worried about where Matt Rempe is. They won't have to worry. He'll be on the bench. That's where he mostly stays. But even if so, even if he's out there, you're telling me, this is what I have a hard problem with. If Florida went into the game and into the series and the game plan is be physical with these New York Rangers, be physical in the corners, be physical with this team, lay the hit every time you can. You know, if you have an opportunity at times to either play the man or play the puck, play the man. Let's be really physical and beat these guys up. If you think that game plan is going to change because Rempe's out there, suddenly go, oh, sorry, coach, we can't do that anymore. We got to be a finesse team now because Rempe's out there and we don't want to feel the wrath. I don't buy at all.